Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a podcast for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the producer of the NovoEd Talks podcast. And today I am joined by Stephanie Lordson, who is currently a manager of training at Jack in the Box with a background in instructional design. In her role, she leads a team of instructional and visual designers focused on bringing best-in-class learning solutions to life for a diverse audience. Stephanie is passionate about combining creative design practices and learning science to engage learners. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's jump right in. And why don't you start by just kind of introducing yourself a little bit more and telling us about your role and your company?
Sure. So I am a manager in the training department at Jack in the Box. So we're a quick service restaurant that has locations throughout the Western United States and the Southern states, and we're expanding. So look for us if you're on the East Coast soon. My specific role and what my team does, we're focused on the restaurant training, and our learners are restaurant employees. Typically, those would be franchise operators, employees. So we're focused on role training, rollout training. So if they get a new piece of equipment, new back office systems, that sort of thing. And then leadership development training for the restaurant, multi-unit restaurant leaders.
Awesome. So a lot of material you're covering there, yeah. Kind of across the board. What are some of the biggest challenges for these types of learners?
Well, they are a very diverse audience to start with. So we'll have people who are brand new to the quick service restaurant. So they've never worked in a restaurant before, to people who have been doing the exact same thing for 40 years. So it's a very wide range of people that we are speaking to, besides the cultural diversity that they have. And then in addition, it's just a hard job for them to do. We have a very big menu. It's one of the things that we're famous for is we have burgers and tacos and egg rolls. So it's a lot to learn. Yeah. Then in addition, it's just a really quick paced environment. So they need to get up to speed quickly. And then it's also a noisy, distracting environment. So it can be difficult to learn in that space. So those are all things that we have to consider when we're designing training for that audience.
Yeah, I bet that's a lot, especially the overstimulating thing, right? Like that's pain information. That as a mom to like two little kids, sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what anyone's saying to me right now. So I can imagine that's a huge challenge that not a lot of like other, you know, L&D leaders might have, depending on like what space they're in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to us for the designers that we have on our team to kind of understand that challenge. So one of the things that we do when we're bringing new instructional designers on is we actually have them go work in a restaurant and take the training program for about 6 weeks, depending on how much time we have. So they really go through the entire training process They learn every single role in the restaurant, including, the restaurant manager's role and doing things like going in early to take inventory and taking orders at the drive-through. So it's been a really positive experience for those people that we brought onto the team because they come into the role having had the background in design that we were looking for, but then also getting a really good perspective on, what the challenges the loader has is, and it really creates some empathy, right? So, which I so important to bring into your design thinking.
I love that. That's so brilliant. What are some of the other, you mentioned a few of the different challenges, and obviously having someone come, like the instructional designers, come right in and experience all of that, I think is so great. But how do you approach some of the other challenges that you're having?
So we have, so from like a design side, on our side, one of the things about working in our industry specifically is that we have a lot of pivots and a lot of like quick turnaround projects that we need to put out because we are, trying to adapt to market trends and things change so quickly. And I'm sure, throughout the industry, this has got to be something that many other players, not just in restaurants, experience. I know, with COVID, that was definitely something that everybody had to adapt to really quickly. But for us, when we're, trying to put out a great training program, right, it can be a little difficult to take it through, that full process that you would normally want to with your testing and design and your implementation and evaluation. So, when we have to make quick pivots or roll out things quickly, we have to get a little creative around how we test and make sure that that training program is going to be effective for our learners. So, we handle that in a lot of different ways, but some of it is just really just staying close to the field and our learners and just making sure that we're going out there and spending time with them and asking questions and seeing them in action.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing you mentioned there is, with, everything kind of changing, especially like in a post-COVID world, with the rise of kind of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted to ensure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for the digital workplace? Like, does that really, obviously things shifted after COVID. Does that really apply to you guys in the restaurant business? Obviously reaching the broad audience of leaders you guys have across the country, I'm sure, there's a component of that there, but can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So I don't know that our approach has changed that much because we have always had a pretty widespread audience. So we've had to reach them virtually, even previous to COVID. So we do a lot of webinars for our above restaurant leaders, and then we engage with them in different ways. But digital has always been a really important way to engage with the restaurant teams as well, because they're in the restaurants and they need to move quickly and be nimble. So we use training tablets in the restaurants rather than having like the old school way was to have them, sit at a computer in the back of house and kind of go through, training modules very, paced at a specific pace and they had to complete certain things. Our training system's a lot more nimble now, so they can kind of go in and take what they need. And it's on a tablet so they can move the tablet around the restaurant with them. So I think that's one of the ways that we've kind of adapted to more of a digital age within the restaurant is just making sure to have technology available to them that makes it easier for them to learn.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. How do you, from where you're sitting, kind of, or your team, identify and address skills gaps within the organizations? Like, is it through a standardized kind of process, or is it like, unique from place to place? Or can you speak a little bit to that?
Sure. So we have a couple of different ways that we go about it. One is we hear from our field leaders quite often as to what their needs are. So we're constantly getting requests for improvements here, or they need more leadership development training here. We actually have a bi-monthly meeting that we hold with the franchise training teams. Many of the different franchise operators that work for our system will have their own training departments or training directors. So they'll come to meetings with us on the training team, and we'll get direct feedback from them as to how the training programs are working in their organizations and what we can do to improve. We'll also show them content ahead of time so that we can get their like immediate feedback on what we're in the middle of developing. And then in addition to just making sure we're staying close to the field and talking to them and getting feedback, we also have a lot of metrics that we're working with in our restaurants. All of the restaurants are going to be evaluated on, how they're performing in various areas. And training is tied in really closely to that, right? So if we're looking at a restaurant whose performance in a specific area isn't where we expect, one of the ways that we consult with that restaurant would be to look at what they're doing in training and see if there's some, shortfall there that we can help them with. So I think those are kind of the two key places where if there's something that we're missing there, we can go in and do some development and put out something new for the field to get them where they need to be.
Nice. I like that, like, kind of double approach where it's like kind of anecdotal, more conversational, but also using the metrics, like you mentioned. Speaking of metrics, how do you currently measure the effectiveness of these programs? And what are some core KPIs, like standardized KPIs, if you have any? I know this question is always like a tough one, that you report, or that kind of you report to your superiors or a board or like across the board to talk about like how performance is for training.
For us, mainly what we're going to be reporting on is overall completions of the various programs that we're putting out. So we're looking at what percentage of restaurant teams have, completed their onboarding or have completed their, restaurant manager training, who's, fully certified at their restaurant. So that's primarily what we're looking for. And then if we have gaps in completions, then we're going to be looking and seeing if there is an issue with, the engagement level of the training, or if there's something, difficult about the course that's making it so that people can't complete it. We don't dig too much into like the data beyond completions when we're reporting out. We look at some things internally as a training team, but what the sort of company as a whole is looking at is more completions.
Nice. Can you share a successful case study or example of an L&D initiative that significantly impacted employee performance or contributed to the overall success of the organization?
Sure. So I actually have a program that's kind of in progress right now that we're doing in phases. So the first phase, it's a leadership development program for our district managers specifically. They would be managing multiple restaurants, sort of up to, five, seven. Some of them might have 10 restaurants that they're managing. So they were really asking for more leadership development training, things around, coaching, how they approach their restaurants, and make meaningful impacts with them when they're visiting their restaurants. So the phase one of putting out leadership development training for them was actually bringing them all together into a 3-day conference, at our headquarters. So they came from all around the country and joined us for 3 days of leadership development training. And it went really well. Was a full year long program where we had multiple different conference sessions that they could come out to, and we got really great feedback and really great excitement around that program. So it seems to have really, raised morale to a certain extent as well, which I love to hear. And then phase two of this is we're actually right in the middle now of developing a micro learning series that's going to be pushed out to district managers, then it will be very topical as to things that they're encountering right now in their leadership journeys and also different trends that are affecting them in the restaurants that they may need to have extra assistance managing around. So we're really excited about kind of phase two of this program, and we're launching it sometime this summer. So very excited.
That is very exciting. And I feel like that's going to be such a beast, you know, if you think about like in all the different places that you have restaurants and like all the, I'm sure that there's like issues that are like exclusive maybe to one area or one region and one set of leaders versus maybe not another. Or do you see that to be like kind of, you know, common themes, like the same challenges no matter where they are?
Yeah, I feel like restaurants, especially in this environment right now, have some pretty similar issues. There's going to be, constraints around labor and wages rising, cost of food rising. So those are all issues that, not just our restaurants, but kind of all restaurants are facing right now. So those are some of the issues that we're going to be targeting are, in that area. But then there's also things that, they've kind of asked for, or they've told us that they need a little bit more help on that we're going to be, creating for them. So yeah, it's going to be a good experience, I hope, on all sides.
Yeah, that's great. And you've spoken a little bit to this, but what role does technology play in these programs? You mentioned like the tablets, but you know, are there certain like tech programs? And how do you leverage like different tools and maybe programs to enhance, you know, these experience learning experiences for your employees?
Yeah. So one of the key parts of my role really is going out and looking and seeing what technologies are out there and how they can fit in with what we're doing in our restaurants. And there's so many new and fun things coming, AI, chatbots, different things like that. But the key is always to make sure that whatever you're looking at implementing can really have a very clear impact and ROI. So we have a lot of different tools that we leverage, but each one we make sure has a very specific purpose and a very clear use case in the restaurant before we, dive in and try and, implement it just because it's something new and shiny, right? So I spent a lot of time earlier, like in the fall, looking at things like AI and chatbots, and like, could those help with like our leadership training? Could they be doing like a conversation where it's with like a trainee that they could give feedback to? Like, would something like that work? We were looking at it, and it didn't quite work, right, for right now and where it is. We weren't confident enough in it, right? So we putting that on the back burner to maybe look at again later. But we are really diving more into like micro learning things, like we're testing out the Seven Taps platform. So that's going to be something where they'll have maybe like a workbook, or they'll have like job aids or something where it has QR codes on them that link to the Seven Taps interactions so that they can go through and have quick tips and things on their phones that they can look at. So that's something that we're excited to launch out with the field soon. Yeah, so it's for me, it's just a matter of there's so many cool things out there, so many things you can do. It's just a matter of making sure that you really understand like how it's going to be useful, and but you can get creative around it too. So
Yeah, absolutely. That's always, you know, that's always such a good point and something to remember as technology evolves so rapidly and so many like new cool things come out. It's like, okay, this is cool. It could be helpful, but will it actually be helpful? Will it actually work? So that's very exciting though. As some of your programs have evolved over the past, you know, 5 years in general, just kind of looking at like your industry specifically, what are some like key takeaways you've seen?
for our industry, this is a little bit of a hard one, for me to answer. Let me think about this for a second. So the past 5 years, we've had a lot of change within our organization in the past 5 years. So when I think of this question, I kind of think of like our company specifically and what we've been doing. So we implemented like a whole brand new LMS in that time. We're experimenting with a lot of, new ways of collecting data, new ways of, implementing training programs. So just every year something new comes along that we can, do something different with. And there's just so much space right now, I think, to get creative and do new things for our learners, which always excites me.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I think we've had, like, as a society in general, like in a post-COVID world, I feel like this idea of being like open to changing or like adapting
Yeah.
things, it's like almost like a barrier came down with COVID, right? Where it was like, where that was such the norm of just like adapting and changing on the day to day, that it almost seems like we're a lot more open to that. And we've heard a lot of that from all kinds of different organizations. So I think that's really exciting. What, kind of looking to the future, you've talked about a lot of different like tech trends and things that you guys have looked at. But what do you believe will shape the way organizations in your industry really invest in their employees' growth? Like, will it be more tech? Will it be more like, I don't know, like, can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So I think for us, especially, training is just so important. Just getting our employees what they need and kind of decreasing the time to proficiency is just a huge push for us, just because of the industry. That's not unique to us for sure. So anything that we can do along those lines that can really bring people up to speed more quickly, that can deliver, training in the flow of their work, is going to be something that would be very important for us to invest in, right? So when we're looking at trends or we're looking at technologies, anything that can help us accomplish those goals better is going to be the direction that we're going to want to move towards.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear that from a lot of organizations as well. Just like things that are not so cumbersome, that they can still do their job. All right, Stephanie, for my last question, we always do this as kind of like a fun send off. What advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
This is a fun one because I have been in my role since last summer, so a little over 6 months, maybe getting close to 8 now. So I would consider myself new to a leadership role. So what I found in my first, steps into this realm, is that, my team is really kind of the foundation of everything, right? So they're amazing. They do amazing work. So just relying on their expertise, their knowledge, their creative capacity, they are amazing. So leaning on them, giving them what they need, making sure their path is clear to, produce amazing stuff. That's really what my role, I see my role as a leader is making sure that they have what they need to, do their best work. And then from the other side, I have some really great mentors. Staying close to them, making sure that I am talking with them and that we're, troubleshooting things together has been really great for my own personal leadership journey. So just a combination of those two things is just to develop your mentorships and then, support your team.
Love that. I think that's great, great advice. Having mentors is so important, I truly believe. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much. This has been a great episode. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge with our listeners. We really appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.